And you can also give us a call if you've got any questions, flooring questions too. 847-475-1590. And if you do, you have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Before we get into it here with Mr.'s Floors, what kind of cleaning products can they win?
They can win one of six products.
Six?
Wow. Six, yeah. We're going to be rolling out very, very soon here. It's actually just going live as we speak. Our new laminate and LVP cleaner, which is designed for laminate floors and also designed for luxury vinyl plank floors.
Luxury
like
vinyl,
the one
come
we're
on.
Standing on right here in the studio.
Vinyl's vinyl. What do you mean luxury vinyl?
Well, that's the technical term.
If you roll on it, it feels really nice.
Oh, it's
like luxurious.
Okay.
What's it sounds much nicer.
What's the difference between luxury vinyl flooring and regular vinyl flooring? Well, besides the name.
Well, luxury vinyl flooring comes as tiles or planks, where a standard vinyl would be more like a sheet good.
Oh, okay, where so the slap and
six
stick.
6 foot or 12. Right, exactly.
Ah, okay. Nice recovery.
we just like the luxury name. You know, you put luxury on anything and it's great, right?
Uh-huh. There you go.
Well, I think it's funny they actually had to do that just to market it, because that's just it. I mean, you just always imagine you want a vinyl floor. No, I don't want anything that cheesy.
Yeah.
So they really had to tag it that way, because luxury vinyl is truly a different product. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
And it's being Green Day today. We're going to talk about green products. Before we get into that, Rich had a question for you guys. Do you remember what that question was, Rich?
I sure do.
Excellent. Let's hit him.
And this is actually kind of important to most people. The wood floor adhesive for direct glue downs, particularly over a concrete slab. I know like Monarch. Or makes like the M1000 and all that, and those you can put over a concrete slab that's like 95% moisture content still. So it's still fairly green. Question is, do they work as a semi-permeable or low-perm vapor barrier? So I've been looking into these different adhesives, but none of them have a perm rating. In other words, can it be used as your vapor barrier?
Absolutely, Rich. There are products on the market. I believe Bostik actually makes a product that is really, really good, and it's both an adhesive and also a moisture barrier. And there are other products on the market similar to that. And you know, in some cases, we're coming in and we don't have the ability or the time to really wait for the concrete to necessarily fully cure.
Correct.
So we want to encapsulate, right? And so we'll put down a product that's in essence, it's going to go down, it's going to get troweled on. And mm-hmm. it's designed to basically, it does carry a perm rating, and it is designed to encapsulate that concrete and allow for a floor installation right over that.
What happens to the moisture then that's in the concrete?
So the moisture is basically looking for another way to get out, I guess. I mean, it's looking for, a way to wick, but the main thing for us, the critical piece for us, is we don't want it wicking into our floor.
So you don't care where it goes as long as it's not in your floor.
Within reason, yes.
Well, it doesn't care where it goes.
Well, this is funny. Well, and actually it tells you, like a lot of these things, they tell you do not put it within 12, I think it's 12 inches from the walls.
Right.
So basically your moisture is allowed to escape at the wall. So that last 12 inches. But like I said, I've looked into a number of different products, different adhesives, but I can't find the perm rating on them. And that's what was bothering me more than anything. I mean, some of these are pretty good adhesives and they're not inexpensive.
Right.
But without the perm rating, you really don't know what you're ending up.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to actually check to see with the manufacturer exactly what their perm rating is. But there are, I know for a fact, there are specialized products. Rich, I just couldn't quote the perm rating for you. Maybe next time when we come, I'll have that information.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
And we are on Facebook Live right now. Say hi, Igor.
Good morning. Good morning.
There you see. And then there's Aaron.
Good morning.
From Mr.'s Floor. And Robbie.
Yeah.
See,
good morning.
And then Rich is up there. See, like that right there. So, that and you still can't hear him. I think we're gonna have to start taking this case off to be able to hear Rich.
Uh-oh.
So, well, today we're also gonna talk about.
Not gonna worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't look worried there, Rich. I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
So if I push the plug in all the way, it works. I gotta get rid of this case, I think.
There you go.
So anyway, we were gonna talk about some green flooring, and normally I would say, isn't all flooring going to be green, any type of wood flooring?
Well, we don't tend to stain floor green, but I think you're talking about a different type of green.
Yeah.
All right, so we actually brought in a bunch of samples here to talk about what people think is green and what is really green.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn it over to Igor, and he's going to talk about this product right up in front here.
Okay.
That we brought in. And if you want me to be Van, I can be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we have here, Ron, is bamboo. And,
well, of course, that's green, right?
Yeah, well, you
it's
know,
grass.
It's grass, exactly. So, first of all, that's an important distinction. So, a lot of people think of bamboo as a wood, and it's not. It is, in fact, a grass. What makes it green is the fact that it grows and can be harvested within 6 to 7 years in many cases, which is a fraction of the length of time that a tree would be required to grow before it could be harvested. The problem is this. So, even though it regenerates very quickly, doesn't need a lot of area to be able to grow, doesn't need specific weather conditions. I mean, it's a fairly easy growing grass, but the problem with it is in the production. So what I've brought here are a variety of different types of bamboo. This first one is a natural color, horizontally oriented bamboo, and you can see if we hold it up on the edge here, you could see the different plies or the different little stalks that make up this 3 5/8 of an inch wide board. And it's, in fact, when they stack the bamboo this way, there's a lot of adhesive, there's a lot of plasticizers that are used to create this. And so what you wind up with is a fairly green product that then through production doesn't necessarily become very green. To mention this is made overseas. It's been in the news recently. You know, there are questionable practices during production.
A little formaldehyde here and there.
A little formaldehyde here and there. A little exceeding the limits. And so what you wind up with is, you know, people trying to do the right thing to buy a green product, but then through its production or through some of the questionable practices during production, you wind up with not such a green product. And the biggest culprit, really, and I'm going to pull this guy out, is this guy right here.
Whoa.
So let me just say, when bamboo first hit the market, it was only available in these two types, in either horizontal or vertical. So that's the horizontal. This is the vertical. So you can see how it's basically just put together in slats. So the glue was just
in between each.
Then they became, we're going to make it even more green and put it by shredding it.
Right. So this is called strand woven bamboo. And strand woven bamboo is basically shards of bamboo. And you can kind of see these strands that make this up. They're basically kind of shredded together. They're coated with this plastic sort of resin type product. And then they're poured out almost in like cookie sheets. And then they're sliced into these bamboo flooring pieces, but really, I mean, the majority of this thing is plasticizers, adhesives, you know, other products. So, you know, the content of this is really sort of questionable. You know, is it in fact mostly bamboo? Is it mostly not bamboo? What is it? And the behavior of this, especially in a climate like in Chicago, where we go through these wild humidity and temperature swings. You know, the floor doesn't behave in a very predictable way, and in some cases it cups, in some cases it shrinks. I mean, it does weird and odd things because it's really not something that is capable of withstanding a lot of the fluctuations that we have here. So this is really the one that we're most concerned with, and as an industry, this is something that's been causing a lot of problems as of the last probably 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Well, I think a lot of people bought that because it's the most durable of the bamboo floors, though, the twisted bamboo.
Correct. Right.
So it became extremely popular, but...
You can call it bam glue.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mr.'s Floor right after this. You're listening to...
Mighty House. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And of course, you can give us a call, 847-475-1590. All right. And with that, I think we're back. Now, one thing we were talking during the break, and if you were on Facebook Live, you saw we were having a little chat, continuing that conversation about the flooring. And bamboo came into the industry as this is the green thing to have, right?
That was the marketing sort of strategy.
But then if you look at what Rich was talking about during his tip of the week, what's the carbon footprint of this bamboo
right.
versus something that's cut down here and milled right in the area?
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean it's huge, right? So you've got the production of the bamboo itself, which we don't even understand fully what the carbon footprint of that would be overseas, but then you have to put it on a shipping container and bring it over here. And then you have to truck it to wherever it's going to go, and then that gets further trucked to, you know, to your home.
Right.
So you add all that up. I mean, I think, you know, if you go to, you know, northern Wisconsin and harvest a beautiful northern red oak tree, you know, that's properly taken down, that's probably, you know, properly replanted, the carbon footprint of that is I think a fraction of what this supposed, you know, green product is all about. And I, you know, that's what we're talking about today on Earth Day. Is, you know,
no, it's Green Day
or Green Day. That's right.
Earth Day.
I'll let you guys work that out. But anyway, okay.
so we were thinking, what is the most green type of product, and what's more green than that?
Right, it's a chunk of wood.
It's a chunk of wood. Okay,
so you could go to Horgan Forest Products
and get wood.
And Horgan Forest Products, they actually harvest trees that come down here in the Chicagoland area. If you have a tree that needs to be taken down, they can take it down for you. They'll dry it and then mill it, and then you guys could install it.
Perfect.
So, and there's nothing more green than that.
This piece right here that Robbie's holding actually came from McHenry.
Okay.
This was a tree that was actually that came down in a storm, and a client of ours actually gave us this piece, and that's exactly what they did. They wound up selling that tree to a local company that was going to kiln dry it, mill it, and then turn it into either flooring or some other, you know, maybe a table. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it was going to go. But we thought it was a neat piece, and you can actually see the saw marks on this thing. It's really kind of cool. But I mean, how much more green can you get than a tree that, you know,
was coming down
coming
anyway?
Down anyway, right?
It wasn't cut down for the purpose of flooring.
Right.
It was already on its way down, so they went ahead and turned that into flooring.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, even with the mills that we work with, and we work with only FSC certified mills.
What's that? FSC?
FSC is the Forest Stewardship Council certification. What that simply means is they subscribe to a very specific protocol of how they will take the trees down, how they'll replant the trees. In essence, it's a crop, right? I mean, they treat it as a crop. So sometime around year 40, 42, that oak tree comes down. Another one is replanted, and see you later, you know, let it grow, come back in about 40 years, take that one down. And so it becomes a crop, and these are, nobody's slashing and burning these things, and we only support mills that practice those protocols. I mean, that's very, very green, and the carbon footprint is very small, and the products are unbelievable. And actually, Aaron has a few of them here to show you guys. I mean, there's a variety of species that we brought. So the one on the darker one is a beautiful walnut that we use for flooring. We also have red oak and white oak, and Aaron can kind of talk about some of them.
Okay, so this is walnut, this is white oak, this is red oak. I didn't even take a look at this. This looks like it's maple. Okay, so maple is the densest domestic wood that you can get, tree.
Which is why they used to put them in kitchens.
Correct, exactly.
Because it can take more abuse than
it can take more abuse.
It does put them in kitchens.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the word species because I know she doesn't like that when I go down that road. So
I think she's warming up to it.
These
now.
Are different woods. But yes, in the city of Chicago and everywhere else, you'll see red oak in a majority of the home, but as you said, in the kitchens, they're going to put maple. Why? Because they understand how dense maple is. It doesn't absorb moisture as much. And back then, people actually cooked.
Right.
Nowadays, they don't cook. So they say, hey, you can go
cook.
And do,
I cook.
Well, you do? Should
Stop
I call
it.
Don?
Yeah. We had a ribbon cutting on my kitchen.
Oh, excellent.
How
it's
long
only
ago?
Been there for a year.
There you go. Yeah. So, but I want to talk about the green factor. Yeah, this is a solid piece of wood. There's no glue or anything else. Now, there's sometimes the talking about, well, is an engineered wood floor green? Yes and no. Why? Because you can get more wood out of a tree.
More surface area.
More surface area, but you still have to glue it together. So now you're back into this.
Right.
So yes and no. I would say the most green product would be a solid piece of wood.
Yeah.
So.
Because it doesn't have any other chemicals in it.
Correct.
And no glues.
It's cut, it's sanded, it's installed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then if you couple it with a green coating, like a good water-based finish that we typically would be using on sanding and finishing that raw floor, and then if you couple that with the correct cleaning products, which we happen to have our wood floor cleaner here, which is a nice green product as well, you can really...
Good job, Vanna.
Excellent, beautiful. You can really do a very, very
nice
good job
Vanna.
Staying green and staying ecologically conscious and really keeping things under control that way.
Yep. I think... You know, it depends on, I think, really what you're after. Locally grown, harvested wood, that trees that were already having to come down anyway, seems to be the key to doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys could install that too, right?
Absolutely.
It wouldn't matter.
We could also install reclaimed wood, stuff that's coming out of an old barn or
really?
Wine barrels.
Do you guys mill it yourselves, or do you send it out to get milled?
So we'll send it out. So we actually have companies that we work with. They actually sort of they're scavengers, if you will, but they go to Omaha, they go to Nebraska, they go to, you know, Montana. They'll actually take down an old farmhouse. They'll take down an old barn. They'll take down railroad, you know, cars
mm-hmm.
that are being decommissioned if they're of a particular wood. They'll remill it, and then we'll purchase that lumber. And it's ready to go for flooring. I mean, and it's beautiful. It has natural character. You see natural burls, wood pecking, from birds, and you know, just this. You can't achieve that sort of character unless it's sort of lived outside for 100 and a half years. You
right.
know? And that makes for a beautiful floor too. And that is very green because that's a tree that came down maybe 200 years ago, and now it's in your home as a floor. I mean, it's beautiful.
And being reused.
And being reused and recycled, absolutely. And
versus just getting tossed away.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. So, okay, so we've got the walnut.
This is walnut.
And that's tends to be darker. Are you going to then stain that again? Or
you can, but most people like to keep it natural.
Okay.
The problem with walnut, it is kind of soft. So
really?
You'll
but it's a hardwood.
It's a soft hardwood.
Okay.
So.
Hey, Ron, you know what balsa wood is, right? That's classified as a balsa wood. You know, make model airplanes out of.
Yeah.
That's actually classified as a hardwood.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with the density. It has to do with the species, whether it's deciduous or evergreen.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So,
Aaron, explain.
So, Aaron, spell deciduous, please.
No. I don't do that.
No.
With a D, I know.
It starts with a K. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, sorry. So walnut and American cherry are two hardwood floors that are absolutely beautiful, but I typically don't recommend because they dent easier, they scratch easier, because they are not as dense as a red oak, white oak, or a maple.
Red oak, which one's red oak? The lighter one of the two.
This is red oak.
But that's lighter than the white oak.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
You're confusing me.
Here, let me white oak's not white. It can be red, too.
Right. Red oak, if you actually look at it.
Yeah, white oak is actually darker than red oak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And has a kind of a brownish-greenish cast.
Right.
If you look carefully at
it. And then this has a more of a pinkish hue to it. So
more reds in it, I think.
More reds in it. Correct. And in white oak, you'll see a lot of mineral streaking, where you have white lines going through it, which this doesn't actually have. But you'll see that in white oak and not as much in red oak. And then you have maple, which does not have as a prominent graining structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to actually be more of a clean look. But when you stain it, it actually can become blotchy because it doesn't absorb the stain as easily.
You can't stain maple.
Well, sure we can. You can't, maybe.
You may not want us to, but we can do it. No, you can absolutely stain maple. But maple is very dense, and it has naturally occurring burls. And so they become highlighted during staining. And the darker you go, the more inconsistent that floor potentially can look. So there are specialized techniques that we have for actually laying down stains over maple.
Well, that's a myth within the construction industry. You can't stain maple, and you can't stain This right here.
Bamboo?
Bamboo.
Yeah, we can stain both.
But it doesn't... How does it take the stain?
Very carefully.
Stain.
One layer at a time.
You can do
it. You can always stain maple, but I always just said it's a sin. You know, maple, walnut, a lot of those wood should always just be clear-coated because they're just beautiful on their own.
Right. If you want that natural look, then that's the way to go.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of times we'll have clients that actually want to go with the maple look but want it stained and don't want that blotchiness, and then we'll talk to them about birch because it has the same, very similar grain structure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it'll stain it a little bit more evenly because it's a less dense product.
But it's still a hardwood.
It's still a hardwood.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And actually, on our website, on our gallery tab,
mm-hmm.
So if people are listening and they want to go to MrFloor.com, click on the gallery tab, we have a variety of different pictures by species and by color, and they can actually look and see what a dark stained maple would look like versus a natural stain maple, or what an oak would look like stained. So there's a variety of pictures, and you can really get a good sense of what things look like just by looking at that gallery tab.
Okay. Yeah, and back in the early 1900s, that's the way they would build a house. They would put the maple in the kitchens because kitchens are generally a higher traffic area. They take more abuse.
Correct.
So the maple would hold up better, and then they would put oak throughout the rest of the house.
Yeah, so we would see maple in the kitchen. We would see oak, and in some cases, if the home is old enough, we'll sometimes see Douglas fir throughout the first floor and even upstairs on the second floor, which is actually beautiful but also very, very soft. So it was never really intended to be sort of exposed. I mean, it was always sort of carpeted over immediately. But, you know, throughout the North Shore here, so Evanston, Wilmette, parts of the North
Chicago.
You know, Chicago, we'll actually see this, you know, this Douglas fir, and it's beautiful, and we can refinish it, and it's got a, you know, a nice reddish color to it. We can stain it. It's gorgeous, as long as you're aware that it's a little soft.
Excellent. All right. So. Well, Mr.'s Floor, MrFloor.com. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.